W252DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. Investigators in Nepal will spend the day analyzing the black boxes from that plane that went down in the mountains. ABC's Britt Clennett has more from Kathmandu.
Tomorrow, we're expecting the bodies of the victims to be sent here to Kathmandu, including those of the 15 foreign nationals who were on board. There will likely be a vigil here with their grieving families.
There's no reason determined as of now for why that plane went down. The death toll from a weekend Russian missile strike on an apartment building in the southeastern Ukrainian city of Dnipro has now risen to 40. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Fighting in the east, brutal. We're hearing of tens of thousands of casualties. And hoping to break that stalemate for the first time in this war, Ukraine getting 14 battle tanks from the UK.
Continuing questions following the discovery of classified documents at President Biden's Delaware home. A special counsel has been appointed, but House Republicans say they'll begin their own investigations. This is ABC News. There may be a standoff brewing in Washington over raising the debt limit. ABC's Trish Turner says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is pushing for spending cuts in exchange for raising the ceiling.
Speaker McCarthy is already trying to reach out to this White House to say, I want to negotiate with President Biden. I'm ready to negotiate. Unfortunately, now the White House is taking that line that Democrats have up to this time taken. And President Biden, through his spokeswoman, said just last week, nope, we're not negotiating. This isn't a political football. We're not negotiating.
The Treasury Department says it'll hit the debt limit and not be able to borrow any more money on Thursday. Police in Italy now say they've arrested the country's most wanted mafia boss, Matteo Denaro, caught in a clinic after 30 years on the run. One more game in the NFL's wild card weekend. The Cowboys play the Bucks tonight. Sunday's winners moving on to the next round. The Bills, Bengals, and the Giants. Jay O'Brien, ABC News.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Police say at least three people are dead just across the Illinois border in Rockford. One of the victims is a teenage boy. Rockford police tell local TV five people in all were hit in a rash of shootings last night. Three people were killed. Two victims got themselves to the hospital. Last we knew, police couldn't say whether the shootings were connected. Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebrations are going on all over Wisconsin today. The oldest official state celebration is at the State Capitol Rotunda in Madison. Milwaukee's annual King Day celebration is at the Marcus Performing Arts Center. There are also events from Kenosha to Eau Claire and La Crosse to Wausau. All events are free and open to the public. In sports, the Bucks host Indiana this afternoon. Tampa Bay hosts Dallas in the NFL playoffs tonight. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2. I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
No. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same numbers. Monday, that means Mondays with Sandy Williams and Sandy. Kevin McCarthy renews calls for spending cuts to raise debt ceiling in today's Wall Street Journal. What is the debt ceiling?
Well, the debt ceiling is the government has to authorize the issuance of its debt for the treasury bonds, essentially. And the treasury bonds are the way we finance our deficit. And so every year our government operates with a deficit. And so what happens is periodically Congress is called upon to authorize the issuance of debt instruments up to a certain amount. And so 2 years ago this came up, and the Congress enacted a debt limit of $31 trillion, and round numbers. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. And apparently we're going to hit that number in the next months. And when we hit that number, either we have to stop operating the government at a deficit so we don't have to issue any new debt instruments to finance it, or we have to get a new debt limit. And to date, at least, the government has always behaved as if we need to get a new debt limit. In the past, when we've approached this, it has appeared that what we will have to do is stop issuing paychecks. The Pentagon always says, well, we can't cut ours because we'll have to stop issuing paychecks to the military. And you don't want us to do that. And it's sort of like what happens at a local level whenever there's a public financial crisis. Everyone says we'll have to pull the cops off the street. And so if you can't issue more debt, or if you can't pay off your debt because you've now reached the limit of your expenditures and now debt comes due and you can't pay it off, it's a financial crisis for the country that would seriously erode its status as the world currency. It would seriously potentially affect the creditworthiness of our debt instruments, so we'd have to start paying higher interest on all of our debt, which would have a huge effect on what it costs us to service this $31 trillion of outstanding debt that we have to cover our total national debt. And so it's a huge lever. But the ridiculous part about this dispute is that the dispute is not because we're going to appropriate new dollars. It's because we're reaching this debt limit based on dollars that have already been approved by Congress, and we're simply now having to write the paychecks or otherwise issue the checks to pay for whatever it is that Congress has already authorized. So you would think that we would operate in a manner that the country is authorized to issue whatever debt is necessary to cover whatever Congress has decided we ought to be enacting in law that has a financial cost. That isn't the way it works. Congress can irresponsibly run along the road and authorize any and all kinds of expenditures, and the only time the rubber hits the road with respect to dollars is when this debt limit has to go up. And at that point, Congress can dig in its heels. But of course, they're digging in their heels to say, yeah, we asked for this money and we spent the money, but now we're not going to pay it back.
You know, so these debt instruments are bonds and are there other instruments?
Well, it's federal debt instruments.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's, I guess, Sandy, when you listen to Kevin McCarthy, who's the new speaker, and others, and he says he made a commitment to the people who voted for him.
Yeah, there's five of those.
I know. that he has to do this.
Right.
And so my response is, what?
Well, the question really is, I mean, so in order to bottle this up, they'll need to have a majority of Congress, unless the Speaker decides that he's not going to let the bill get to Congress, not to let it get voted for, in which case there is another mechanism that can be used where a majority vote can pull the vote, can pull the bill out so that it has to be voted upon and essentially override the decision of the Speaker, who would otherwise control the agenda. So if he doesn't control enough votes in the Republican caucus, they won't be able to accomplish this. But if they can, then everyone understands that this is a very irresponsible lever to pull, very irresponsible. Because what they're doing is, you know, they've been able to go back home to their districts and brag about whatever programs they voted for and whatever they got financed for their local congressional district. And now they're going to basically say, yeah, but we're not going to pay the lenders back who have financed the debt that was caused by the deficit expenditures along the way that financed these things we authorized. Every year's budget has a deficit. That deficit every year is implicitly authorized by Congress in their enactments of the budget and all of the other bills that have an impact on the annual expenditures. So this is, if a household acted like this, they would be pariahs. They would never be able to go to a bank again and borrow money.
So it's safe to say that there are Republicans who disagree with this.
One can hope. One can hope that the caucus would not be unified on this and that they some responsible souls would break rank and not do this, because holding the government hostage on a policy basis. And incidentally, one way to defer this, and Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, has announced this, is to try and pull out all extraordinary means to limit the cash flow that the government is spending over the next months. And they can limit cash flow by deferring expenditures that have otherwise been authorized. It doesn't have to be done by simply eliminating payroll. And there are plenty of things that could be deferred. Many of them are probably in the defense budget, because there's probably more fat in the defense budget than there is any place else. But they'd have to get some people with some courage to go along with deferring expenditures in the places where there is fat in the budget, so that they can essentially forestall this need to increase the debt limit.
Sandy, this is nothing new with saying, the debt limit, is all these bills are going to come due. It's all the time. It happens, I think, every year.
This is like the this is like the credit card.
Yes.
Okay, you bought it on your credit card, and now you have to pay it back. And now this is like someone saying, I'm just not going to do that. Not until you agree with me that I don't have to pay you back that much. I mean, it's something like that kind of negotiation, except in this case, it's basically negotiating with someone to say, now next year you're not going to spend as much as in exchange for me authorizing the payback of this debt that I already I already participated in spending.
And Sandy, to then say, we know where the major expenditures are.
Well, incidentally, one of the major contributions to this debt was the major tax deduction that was voted for predominantly by Republican votes during the Trump administration, because you understand that you don't just run a deficit because you increase your expenditures. You can also run a deficit because you reduce your revenues. And And there was a great deal of revenue reduction that went that occurred in the last 5 years as the result of those tax reductions, and the whole notion of trickle down, that the economy would expand so much that it would swallow up the reduction in revenues by increased taxes on all the increased earnings, never has come to fruition in the past, and it didn't come to fruition.
You know, when you look at what is being said by the speaker, and he clearly is stating that there are several areas we can look at. Military.
Well, tax increases, incidentally, would be something he didn't list.
No.
but they were, you know, there are those who are quick to argue for tax reductions. And everyone understands that one of the strategies is, goes back to Grover Norquist, is you strangle the incoming revenue. And then when push comes to shove, you start hitting at the expenditures and the ones that you want to pit taxes, increased taxes against, for instance, what they call entitlements. So they're talking about trying to pit it against parts of it, the expenditures associated with Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And Social Security.
And so they've also stated that, well, we can talk about maybe the military budget. But, you know, and somebody asked him, well, there are areas that you would think about cutting and wasting the military budget. And his thing was, wokeism, the wokeism part of the military. And I'm like, what?
And how much does that cost?
Yeah. I mean, let me see if I can find it while you're.
Well, you know, the military has been doing work on diversity training and sensitivity training and the same things that corporations across the country have set about doing to try and limit the amount of, for instance, sexual harassment that occurs. And clearly sexual harassment has been
a big problem
in the military. And so it's that kind of stuff which has now fallen under wokeism. It's labeled political correctism.
Well, here's what McCarthy said. Pointed to the potential reduction in funding to the military for policies he labeled as wokeism. Eliminate all money spent on wokeism. Eliminate the money that they're trying to find different fuels, and they're worried about the environment to go through, Mr. McCarthy said. Oh, so any time that they're looking to address the issues with the environment and alternative fuel ways, we don't want to deal with that, you know. I mean, those are the things we can deal with, right? Those things we want to address. General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has said that he finds the accusation of the military being woke offensive. The Biden administration has said it remains committed to providing Ukraine with military support if it needs to repeal Russia's invasion. They want to cut some resources that would be going to Ukraine.
Well, this is all part of a very artful process in marketing. Make America Great Again appeals to everyone to just look in their bag of nostalgia and look at it and wish for America to be the way they want it. Wokeism, it just the way it was used by DeSantis, is everything you don't like. They don't tell you what it is that constitutes woke. It's just all the policies that you find obnoxious, that's wokeism. But we'll eliminate that part.
But to look at an $858 billion budget for the military and say we want to eliminate wokeism, you know, how many nickels are we talking about? 844-967-2789. Got to go to a break. It's Monday. Monday's with Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 38. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows around 35. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 38. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 37.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us. UKRadio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, it's easy to say that, okay, who do we owe the debt to? Well, the majority of the people we owe the debt to is not foreigners. It's Americans.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, it's pension funds. It's all kinds of parts of the sectors of the world, sectors of our economies, sectors of our people. But so what? You know, the notion is, you know, we owe this money, and our financial standing is extremely important to the foundation of America. And if our interest goes up, we could easily suffer something close to financial collapse. I mean, if you take the interest rate we pay on our debt and double it, then the service cost to our debt goes up astronomically and it has a huge effect on our budget. Our economy is currently premised in large part on the fact that we are the world currency. We lose world currency status and it's a disaster. And it's a disaster for all parts of our economy, including our ability to raise money for defense, those people who think defense is holy. So they're playing with fire, and they know they're playing with fire, and they think that they can play, you know, this is like a game of
Russian roulette.
This is chicken in the car. Who's gonna change the course of the automobile as they go hurtling towards each other? And that is a dangerous game to play, particularly when the reason they're playing that way is they want to play with things that matter to a great deal of Americans. You know, we could be talking sensibly about revising Social Security, not limiting it, but we could, you know, wealthy people maybe don't need to receive their Social Security payments. It could become progressive somewhat in the way that it is distributed. That could have an effect. That might be a tolerable thing to look at. But to just talk about it as if what they want to do is tinker with it materially, change the level of the payouts, change it in some way that could have a substantially detrimental impact on many, many people, it's kind of unbelievable.
It's unconscionable, Sandy, yeah. that as people who struggle, and that is a safety net. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, it was designed that way. It was designed in the 30s, late 30s, in recognition of the fact that when people get old and can no longer be in the workforce, they need to be, they need to have some means of being protected. The American family system wasn't satisfactory for that. This is something that was initiated, I think, in Germany first, but it became a dominant form of government support out there in the world generally, particularly in developed nations. and it would be remarkable that we would think that in our society, the way it has evolved, we could simply yank money out from under the elderly. And the same is true of Medicare. Medicare was implemented for the same reason. When you get old, two things happen. You can't work and you get sick. Those are inevitable.
You know, Sandy, they are givens, and I don't know, you get to this point almost every year, it's the same discussion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that I think people are focusing on it even more now is because the Republicans are finally back in control, but they can't do anything unilaterally to make this happen. Isn't this just pie in the sky, these ideas that they're talking about?
Well, it is, but it's also evidence of the paralysis in government, the unwillingness to actually set up a bipartisan commission or some sort of a bipartisan process to, for instance, examine Social Security and figure out what the right way is.
Because it does need to be addressed.
Well, it needs to be addressed in some fashion. It's the same way with immigration at the border.
Right.
We have a big problem. Biden is now, he's down at the border saying we have a problem here. Everyone knows we've had a problem. We've had a problem since 1990 or earlier. We've recognized it. We had a problem in 1960. But we just refuse to address it politically. And this failure to address problems politically is causing us to slip off into this direction that begs for either anarchy or autocracy. And I fear that's what's happening across the world. When government gets paralyzed, people don't want that government anymore, and they don't really want no government. You can find out what happens in Libya or Somalia when you don't have government. So the alternative to no government or the government that's paralyzed in a democracy is autocracy, which is kind of what's being served up by the MAGA Republicans.
You know, Sandy, we can hear the pushback from MAGA Republicans who think that government is the worst thing that ever occurred. But if people really took the time out to just look at what government does do for the American people, they would be astounded at how much impact and how much positive impact the government has on our lives.
Well, the interesting thing is that what they're really upset about when there is bureaucracy, right? Bureaucrats.
Right.
And does any country that's run by an autocrat not have a bureaucracy? Of course they have a big bureaucracy. They just have a bureaucracy that's doing the bidding of the autocrat. And it's probably doing the bidding of the autocrat at the expense of what it is the people need. And so what this all is just begging for a government process that isn't frozen in place. And when the Republicans do something like what they're proposing to do now, which is to refuse to approve an increase in the debt limit, what are they doing? They're just talking about freezing in place.
Right.
They're talking about paralysis. They're talking about paralysis as a policy.
Which is not going to, again, benefit the American people. How does it benefit the American people to do what it is they are saying? It does not. But as you stated, it does benefit the wishes of a handful of people who want to feel like they've done something impactful.
Well,
it doesn't really do anything impactful.
Well, what they're saying is we want to play poker with this and we want to buy these other changes in policy.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. Investigators in Nepal will spend the day analyzing the black boxes from that plane that went down in the mountains. ABC's Britt Clennett has more from Kathmandu.
Tomorrow, we're expecting the bodies of the victims to be sent here to Kathmandu, including those of the 15 foreign nationals who were on board. There will likely be a vigil here with their grieving families.
There's no reason determined as of now for why that plane went down. The death toll from a weekend Russian missile strike on an apartment building in the southeastern Ukrainian city of Dnipro has now risen to 40. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Fighting in the east, brutal. We're hearing of tens of thousands of casualties. And hoping to break that stalemate for the first time in this war, Ukraine getting 14 battle tanks from the UK.
Continuing questions following the discovery of classified documents at President Biden's Delaware home. A special counsel has been appointed, but House Republicans say they'll begin their own investigations. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Democrats are speaking out against the flat tax proposal Republicans rolled out Friday. Madison State Senator Melissa Agard says it doesn't help the people in Wisconsin who need it most. Right now, the progressive tax rate goes from about 3.5% up to almost 7.7%. The flat tax proposal would make everyone's state income tax rate 3.25% by 2026. Unusually rainy weather in Wisconsin for January today. Winter driving conditions are hazardous in parts of central and northern Wisconsin thanks to freezing rain in the morning. Roads, sidewalks, and parking lots are slippery. It's probably a good idea to give yourself some extra time getting around today. In sports, the Bucks host Indiana this afternoon. Tampa Bay hosts Dallas in the NFL playoffs tonight. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hump day equals Greg Bock Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone line, CJ. Hey, CJ, what's going on?
Happy Martin Luther King Day. Love hearing some of his speeches. So, looking forward to hearing more of those from you, Earl. You know, you speak of discourse and wokeism. Wokeism has killed our military recruitment.
Where?
The hate of our military. Like,
where? How?
What do you mean?
Explain.
Forcing this wokeism crap that doesn't have anything to do with our military.
What is wokeism?
The hate that...
What do they mean by wokeism?
You want to hear my answer?
Yeah, though? Tell me what wokeism...
That's what you do. You ask me a question, and Sandy, you talk over me, but
go
ahead.
I'm just asking you, what is wokeism? What do you mean? Tell me what that is.
That's Earl, CJ. That's not Sandy.
Just tell me what that is, so I can understand.
The things that they're making us, that the military is forcing...
Like what?
Our soldiers to learn...
Like what?
...about the hate of America...
they're not doing that in the military.
Oh my gosh!
I've got.
You need to do more research, Earl.
CJ,
because the mere fact is,
I don't need to do research. I've got friends who are in the military, ranking friends, and they disavow that they're teaching people about.
Is the military recruitment at its lowest point in 40 years?
Yeah, you know why.
Yeah, I do know why.
Wokeism?
Because the Democrats have taught the kids to hate America and our military. Period. Okay, but I would like to know, Sandy and Earl, who was the gentleman you had on last Friday about that taught you about wokeism of China?
What was
his name?
His last name was Wheeler. I think it was Scott Wheeler.
He was amazing. Because I would love for you to replay that interview. I don't know if you two re-listened to it.
All you have to do is go on.
But that man was amazing on facts, because it's not what we want China to do. It's what China is promising to do. And I was on hold for 45 minutes. You let Cassandra ask a question. I wasn't able to ask him a question, but I would like you to answer. How many acres of land has China purchased from us in the last... say 5 to 10 years.
Are you talking about acreage of farmland and other commercial real estate in the United States?
Near our military establishment.
Well,
as a matter of
first,
fact.
First of all, I'm not sure it's the Chinese government. I think it's Chinese nationals, and I think Chinese nationals have played.
That's just the point,
played,
Earl.
They've played,
or Sandy.
Well, they've played a
he
big.
He told you it is the China government. It's not companies.
Okay.
When are you going to learn? He taught you wokeism about China. You need to do some more research. It's what China communist government is promising in their statements, in their actions, in their beliefs, and you want to believe in kumbaya China. And this president, President Biden, is bought and paid for, and his family, by China. When are you going to stop defending and actually do some research, Sandy?
Well, let me say this. Have you ever been to China, CJ?
I have not.
Okay.
Sandy has.
Well, I think going to a country doesn't get you all the way to knowledge about it. But I also don't think that listening to one person on the radio who has a particular axe to grind.
Yeah.
he works for a network that is heavily funded. He works for a network that's station that's totally funded by a Taiwanese. And they have that Taiwanese person has a particular bent on this, which incidentally is not shared by all of them. The head of Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company, has an entirely different view of the situation with mainland China. Look, I don't think mainland China is a place, or is it a government that I would necessarily want to live under. That doesn't necessarily, however, convert to the notion that we ought to create a defense budget that is aimed at carrying out a war with China and over Taiwan. You know, the costs associated with that and the U.S. national interest associated with that don't jibe, and the logistical issues associated with trying to do that are impossible to fathom, and also the history behind it doesn't square. So, I'll read any and all things. I'll do any and all research. But what I've done so far First of all, I don't understand the word wokeism. It strikes me that it's a word that can be used for now for anything that anyone doesn't like. If you spell woke with a capital W, apparently it encompasses all things that someone who you disagree with is adopting as a theory and is adopting as an outlook. And I think that's a problem. I think we ought to talk about actual things. And wokeism is a strange term. I don't even know what it means. And
neither does CJ. But
and however, I don't think I agree with anyone about everything. That's just, I think we all ought to think for ourselves. And I hope I pride on myself that hopefully I do that.
It is more than frustrating. To continue to hear the fact that somebody believes that because somebody believes that China is who they are, that we need to be preparing for World War III with China. There's nothing I see that makes me believe that it's imminent. We should be going to World War III with China.
There was a time when the Japanese were heavily investing in real estate in the United States, and foreign investment in real estate in the United States has been ongoing for quite a while. Corporate farming in the United States has been carried out by European farm interests for quite a while. So, you know, the mere fact that foreigners might purchase real estate in the United States is not an ipso facto proof of nefarious purpose. And so I have a problem with that.
But I would also ask the question, Sandy, if in fact, just like back in the early 1980s, when the Japanese were buying up America,
mm-hmm.
it's for sale. There are parts of our country that's for sale. Well, nobody says, especially the people who are selling it, you can only be an American to buy it, right? I mean, come on.
No, well, that's true. And people operate in the marketplaces around the world. Americans invest all over the world. And I don't believe we're doing it for nefarious purposes. I think each person who makes that investment is doing it for their own economic purposes. And so, this is another case of connecting the dots. Someone saying that Chinese interests have bought however many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars worth or acres of real estate in the United States does not ipso facto prove anything. What it proves is that China, being the second largest economy, has a very substantial number of very wealthy financial entities and people who are in a position to make international real estate investments. And incidentally, the United States is probably the safest and most reasonable place to make real estate investments.
All right, let's go to Jacob from Eureka. Good morning, Jacob. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Earl? Hey, you know, the next time that brainwashed bonehead calls in, how about he tell us over the past 5 or 10 years, since he likes to ask questions that we're supposed to answer. Hey, CJ, how about you answer this? Over the last 5 or 10 years, how many properties has Donald Trump and his criminal children sold to the Russian mafia and to the Russian intelligence services? We want to talk about real estate transactions. Let's talk about Russian real estate transactions with the Trump family. You know, we're not going to war with China. Christ, China's like our biggest trading partner. Give me a break. It's Russia who's at war against the Ukrainian civilians, murdering them by the tens of thousands. But Republicans, oh, they love that. They love Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's their idea of what they want in a president. They're not going to get Donald Trump again, so maybe they can get a Putin clone like DeSantis out of Florida. You know, I've had it with guys like CJ who clearly are full-blown racists, okay? You know, they're trying to distract us from the real issue at hand with our foreign policy, which is dealing with the Russians, because they love the Russian government. They love fascism. They love war crimes. You know, CJ's upset that, you know, recruitment's down in the military. Well, if you Republicans keep starting these stupid wars for oil, guess what? No one's going to want to join the military, idiots.
Well, the reason that there are less and less people joining the military isn't because of wokeism. The reason that less and less people are joining the military is they're fearful that they're going to wind up in Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere else.
Yeah, or Iraq the third time.
Oh, yeah, or somewhere else where they may be, you know, they may lose their lives. The truth of the matter is, Sandy, there was a time when young guys went to the military because it was, if you didn't know what you wanted to do with your life, it was a great opportunity to see the world before you got started with your life. It certainly taught you discipline. And so parents didn't mind if their sons joined the military. Sometimes you had children, sons that were wayward, and the military was a good place to have them go and learn to become a man.
Well, I think that the profile of those who join the military, who volunteer for it, has been a complex issue for quite a while. And some of it relates to poverty. And there's no question that the profile of those who volunteer is a social democratic cut of the country that's different than the average. And it's a very complex issue. And to answer, to simply be able to smile and laugh derisively and say that it's the result of the military teaching wokeism is to one, simplify, and two, to falsify the discussion to the point of not being worth having.
Right.
I don't know enough about it, and either does CJ and either does anyone on this call know enough about what it is that is attracting people to the military and what it is that has failed to attract them recently, but I'm confident that it has to do with a whole mix of economic and social and moral views of things that has affected the age group of people who might otherwise volunteer for the military. And I would simply remind CJ that when he was young, I think, unless he's older than I think, or younger than I think, and when I was young, we all got drafted.
Right.
And the volunteer military was a very, very small part of the number of people who served in the military. And so the military has never been viewed necessarily as an attractive option for lots of people. And that's why we had drafts, because it was not fundamentally attractive to put your life at risk for any reason. And the government was, and America is probably the highest purpose for that, but it's not something we are in line to do.
Thank you very much for the call, Jacob. Tom from L.A., what do you say? Good morning.
Hey, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that means all of us. Second, happy Martin Luther King Day. I hope that everyone really listens to the two America speech that you played the other day, because that was absolutely incredible. Not just I Have a Dream. Guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know what this wokeism is or woke is. I think it, to me, I thought it meant that you're aware of something. You're awake. You're aware of something. And it's like the Republicans, once again, have changed definitional words and made up their own definition, and they've actually changed the language, which is really, really quite amazing. I don't know if that's a word for political correctness or what it is, but can someone explain to me what woke is? Because honestly, I don't even understand what it is.
Hey, Tom, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, and neither do the people who use it. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Well,
are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers again tonight, lows around 35. High of 38 tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 37.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us. Radio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go back to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Tom, yes, sir.
Well, like I said, I have no idea what wokeism means. I think we should all be awake of what's going on in our country. We should all be awake of the money in politics and how that's destroying our democracy. And media and politics everywhere, greed. One of the seven deadly sins, which we pretty much have hit all of them, you know, is being displayed. And I just don't understand why someone like CJ can come on and be so angry. I mean, I'm really so happy I don't live in his body.
Man, I'm really tired of hearing CJ's name mentioned. He's not.
Yeah, I agree with you, Earl.
He's not a star, and yet we keep making him that.
No, I agree with you, but my point is that, you know what? What he's hearing, obviously, is what the rest of these right-wing hate radio is promoting all day long. And so I think he's an example of what it is that they're actually saying, and it gives us a chance to actually respond back, because the whole media industrial complex is owned by the corporations. And the corporations want us all fighting each other so they can continue to steal our money out the back door. And CJ is a perfect example of that. I mean, I'm guessing that he probably doesn't make over $100,000 a year. I don't know. But he's somebody that votes against his best interest. Nor do I care. But I do care about these people that say certain things, and they're not even making enough money to, you know, I mean, they're voting against their best interest all the time. And I don't understand that. But like I said, if you guys have a definition for me for woke, I would love to have it, because pick an abstract word. Is that what they do? And then first off, if the Republicans are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it. So that's projection 101.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Maybe it's an acronym for without knowledge about anything or everything. That would be woke, right? W-O-K-E? Yeah,
you know, Sandy, let's see if Michael from Delavan might know. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, as a actual post 9/11 veteran with the Marine Corps, I was personally deployed three times. Last stint was in Afghanistan. And with regards to the military, one, again, I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, this wokeism, I think is a term that's been really, frankly, I mean, you got people that will talk about it and, you know, trying to understand more clarity on more groups. just on the different affinity groups that have come out, LGBTQ, and, you know, that acronym seems to be getting longer. But then now it's almost, you know, this bashing of that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it ever was. And then, you know, any time that some other group tries to get, you know, a little bit more acknowledgement for, hey, we're not part of what it used to be, and we want to have a voice like everybody else. But then you have, especially on the extremist of the right wing, going, no, we're going to discredit you. You don't belong here. And, you know, and especially, too, there are a lot of those stereotypes in the military. You know, I personally kind of ran into it a little bit myself, just because, you know, what I thought that, you know, being in the military and being post 9/11, there was a lot of us that, you know, did enlist because of the fact of 9/11. And when that happened, we were either, you know, in middle school or early high school, and, you know, really wanting to, you know, a little, maybe on the sake of revenge, but just the fact of, hey, this happened when we were young. We weren't able to do anything then, but now we are 18. We understand more about what's going on, and we want to go back and defend our country.
So Mike, let me ask you, man, because there are less people willing to join the military today than there were, as you stated, back when you were, you know, a young man in the military. But as Sandy said, there are many different reasons why that is the way it is. Clearly, over the last, I don't know, Sandy, what, 14 years, the economy has been doing really well, and people could find really decent jobs during that period of time.
Well, sure. I mean, my understanding of the profile of people who have volunteered for the military is that there's a fair portion of them who are volunteering because they are seeking an economic, you know, they're at a point in their life where jobs are not easy to find. They think they can get training in the military and they're going to pursue that, which they can. But if the private sector is going to offer up those same opportunities, then it's in competition with the military. And so all I'm saying is that absent a lot more knowledge, firsthand knowledge, and knowledge maybe done by professional polling and everything, I have no understanding of why it is that the volunteer rate has gone down. But I can certainly believe that there are many reasons for it that are not related to wokeism.
Michael?
Yep.
Yeah, so Go ahead.
I would say overall with the military, I know that when I served between 2007 and 12, there was a major increase just to like the Marine Corps alone, because of the simple fact that, you know, we, after the initial Iraq wars with Desert Storm, you know, we were kind of drawing down. There's miscellaneous missions going on. But then once 9/11 happened and we actually began again in Iraq, there was a major need for a lot of troops. And then when, you know, 07 and 08 came around, they again needed a lot more troops because of the fact that these people that had served were already had done either.
Well, yeah, I mean,
please, they had to a certain degree had enough of it, and they knew that they were going to lose some of those veteran people, so there was the increase. And then, you know, just in my time alone in the military, yep.
I'm sorry, we got to run, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.